Art touches us, connects us, becomes part of life. It always has a story, and it can be our story, even when produced by others. Susan Frohnmayer, our speaker today, is a professional photographer whose subjects range far beyond her native Northwest. About 5 years ago, she also became an oil painter. Her work hangs in many homes and has been shown in many local art shows. She has also been honored to have her photographs in permanent collections, in oncology clinics, travel clinics, and most recently, a pediatric clinic. This morning, she'll talk to us about art as an expression of life. Please welcome Susan Frohnmayer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm doing a special reading. It's one that was written by Marlee Maitland, who is the actress who won the Academy Award for her portrayal of a deaf student in Child of Lesser God. When I faced the loss of my dear grandmother Rose, I asked the question, why was she here? For I could not comprehend a day without her gentle smile and caring touch. The loss was so painful. But as days and months passed, I found that the pain I had felt began to transform itself into something completely new. The empty hole in my life was slowly filled with a warmth. As I lived again and worked myself into a daily routine, I remembered her words of encouragement. I began to understand that my successes and achievements were her pats on the back. Her hugs when I was discouraged and her stories of her dreams and hopes for her children and grandchildren when I had none. So the question why became clear. I realized that my life was an extension of hers. When there is a hole someplace in the world, I believe a warmth eventually fills it. When there is poverty, a richness of spirit eventually comes to help. I believe we are here for each other, to lift, to encourage, to dream. Without that kind of giving, we cease to exist. So as Rose gave to me, I try to give to others in my work, in my personal life, in my charity. For me, that is why. That is harmony. So as I mentioned, I have not been well, but I am getting better. I've been told I'm not contagious, at least. That's some gift. And so I hope that I can make this through. But if I stop for a minute to cough, hopefully you'll understand. And I confess I have never delivered a sermon, and I'm honored to be asked to do so. I may have done some preaching at times, but that clearly is not the same. As a result, I have fussed about this for weeks, this thought and that, but not in a satisfactory way. I finally realized that all I can really do is to tell my story about my life and art and the beauty it has revealed, how I have found a way to express life through art. My mother was an artist, although all five of us didn't realize it as we grew up. She always could draw really neat little pictures of dresses and things for me, but I didn't connect it. She showed artistry in the meals she prepared, always serving them with a special garnish to make them pretty. She decorated our home with a special touch, even while she complained that my brothers broke everything pretty she owned. And she was right. Playing basketball in the living room was fatal to her lovely green vase, among other things. It was much later that my older brother, a wonderful photographer using only a Brownie camera, gave her a paint set. She was reluctant to get into art because she thought my father, who was long on control, would not approve. She took a painting class and very soon was producing lovely paintings. As for my father, He was in his shop making frames for her paintings. He became her greatest fan. I was a lot like my mother. Art was shown in sewing and cooking and decorating, although I didn't garnish the plates, you know. Until at 46, I found myself single and traveling. I bought myself a decent camera, film camera at that time, and one thing led to another. Meeting people who saw my potential and having opportunities to show my images in various places. I believe in serendipity. In many encounters that furthered my art and also in finding different ways to share it. Several years ago, I volunteered to take family portraits at a homeless shelter where families reside for 6 to 9 weeks. It was very rewarding when I learned most families had never had a family photograph, and they wrote touching thank you notes. 2 years ago, I was asked if I could take father-daughter photographs at a dance at a local elementary school in Southern California, and it was a really low-income community. The theme was A Night in Paris, and you can imagine all these little girls all dressed up and so thrilled to be with their fathers or their brothers or uncles. It was so much fun, and they truly appreciated seeing the pictures and getting them. As you will see in the slideshow that we're going to have, I was privileged to go on a safari in Kenya. Since the heavy camera didn't kill me, I have many wonderful pictures and memories of my 16 days amongst the amazing animals and wonderful people. Photographs can take you back to experiences you might otherwise forget. It also is a way to educate others about challenges that may need help. I was asked a number of years ago to put a collection of my photographs in hospital clinics, as was mentioned nicely in the introduction, where people undergo treatment for cancer. And my goal was to provide images that would surround patients with a sense of calm and beauty. Oncology clinics have honored me with that task. And I've also had the opportunity to permanently display my art in a pediatric clinic for young children, older children, parents, and staff. Art can bring feelings of solace, relaxation, and joy. It has to work on many levels. Well, I didn't have to cough. I just lost my place. So for today's talk, I'm going to focus on visual art, but recognizing the musical arts, the written art, and it's always a very broad topic. There's art throughout our lives. But we are born to create. I believe there is an artist in every one of us. Not the same way, but present. I expect it is how we survive to be here today. Every culture has ways to make art. It tells our story. Sculpting tools kept our ancestors alive. We have paintings that depict lives of people and animals back to the cave walls. I saw some of those. I was lucky to go to France last year and went through a cave, and there were all these beautiful pictures of animals that had been carved into the sand walls, and it was amazing. We seek beauty, but we also seek a story. We want connections. The prison art we had on display at Wolf a number of months ago brought people together and helped women who were incarcerated be seen as real people with real needs and real skills. It opened eyes and hearts. It made us want to help those who had been invisible. Talent knows no boundaries. We all need freedom to be who we are and express ourselves creatively. Art in its many forms can make us feel, be moved, be touched, be disgusted, be changed. Art is more powerful than we realize. We can relate to what we see, but experience it differently. That is what makes for diversity in art. It allows us to see more clearly. I have a personality that likes to give the once over and move on. The broad brush approach saves a lot of time and covers a lot of territory, but misses so much the detail and the story. Art through photography and oil painting has given me new perspective. I have to see and take time to make the image, as well as to look and look and look to put in the many layers and colors in my paint. My painting teacher, Julia Peltz, sitting right here, helps me to do this. You can put more paint on, Susan. Just layer it. I know there's plum in that picture somewhere, I'm sure. And turquoise, always the little turquoise. So this has been the fun part of learning. I am always surprised when I take a photo how many times someone viewing it will point out some aspect that I didn't even notice and I had taken the picture. There is always something more. And this is true of each of you. We define ourselves very narrowly, but when we could look beyond our self-imposed limitations and explore areas of creativity, it can open our eyes and hearts to new possibilities. There is potential in every one of us. If I hadn't been in just the right place over 6 years ago and literally stepped into an oil painting class, I may have never known what was available within. I wouldn't be with you today. I do believe in serendipity. I also believe in the therapeutic and healing aspect of art for myself and what it can give to others. If you have the slightest curiosity about any type of art, I suggest you explore and see if there is a fit for you. I told you I preach at times. Art has done so much for me and will continue to in the future. I have much yet to learn. I have had the good fortune to travel with Art Wolf, the well-known photographer from Seattle, and he has inspired me to grow in my art. And when I compare mine to his, I have a long way to go. Recently, I had the idea of gathering a number of talented artists to ask if they would donate an art piece to Habitat for Humanity. The artists were enthusiastic to contribute, and I thought and still do that a gift of art is priceless. The new owners will have the opportunity to choose the art that appeals to them for their new homes. This project is not operational yet, but hopefully will be soon, as soon as I get over this. Even nature provides us with works of art every day. Cloud formations are one of my favorite. It only requires looking up. And it makes me slow down and see the shapes and the colors and the forms. And I call it my gift for today. Art has a way of flattening the self-made lines between us. A street person can produce art that rivals anyone who may be living in a penthouse, for instance. If we don't know the who done it, we don't judge. I love the way art can bring us together. A plaque outside Dornbecker Children's Hospital greets all that enter the hospital. It says, art has the power to heal. It gives meaning to life. What can art do? It can lessen depression, calm our anxieties, fill our lives with the beauty of the world and its people, teach us, challenge us, make us laugh and enrich our days. You have enriched this sanctuary by filling it with remarkable art every couple of months, and by honoring artists and all of us with the opportunity to enjoy art in its many forms, and this is a perfect example. So now, Josh Phelps is at the piano. And he's a pianist and composer with an extensive background in jazz and classical music. He plays in 3 bands in the Portland area and is working on achieving a Bachelor of Music in Composition. He's going to accompany a slideshow of art that is, frankly, quite random. Photographs and a painting. I have one painting. I'll give you a clue. It's the zinnia. And then there are, the last four are a mosaic and oil paintings created by Julia. I would like to suggest that you not only look at the art, but observe how they make you feel. I would also like to close with a quote by Amy Frohnmeyer Wynn. We lost Amy to a genetic disease in 2016 at 29, but her creativity and wisdom live on through her beautiful writing. She said, "The little things. Greet the sunrise every day with an open heart. Absence of expectation, but warmed with gratitude."
Thank you, Susan. We have time for some questions and comments, if you have them.
Thank you for the nice talk. I don't think it was a sermon, but the art was lovely. And I've asked this question many times when we have openings of art here. And I did like your zinnias. Zinnias are my favorite flower. But my question is, how do you know when your piece of art is done?
That's an excellent question. For me, I know because my teacher says, sign it. And it usually means that don't do any more because it's only going to go downhill from here. But I think it is a question where you finally do have to say enough. But it's very tempting to just keep doing a little bit more. For me, I had to learn to do more. That was my hardest lesson. But I see I have the perfect out because when I sign it, that's it.
John Riles, thank you very much for your presentation. I'm a practicing photographer myself, continue to practice, and I'm really inspired by your work. I've seen it in different locations, and I was really struck with the statement that you made that doing photography helps you to take the time to really focus on what you're seeing and absorb it and wait for that moment of recognition and resonance in your own thought process and whatnot. And I think it's remarkable that, you know, you described yourself as somebody who just kind of, I wouldn't say glossed over, but kind of rapidly engaged in different things and whatnot. And photography has made you change that.
Yes, it does. And even as far as, for instance, I took a picture of hydrangea, one of those blue lace hydrangeas, and I just captured the center part of it. And it's one of my favorite photographs because I see things I would never have seen. Sometimes it's after I take the picture I see it, but oftentimes, too, it's before. I tend to shoot from the hip a lot if I just see, like, the two girls, actually those two girls hugging each other on the in the beach are my granddaughters. But I saw that moment, and I took the picture. So that's different than trying to make an art piece out of something. And that's much more structural. But I've had to do that. I've had to look at the detail, see it, have more patience than I used to have. And the results can be very rewarding.
You asked us to notice how we feel during this presentation. And I think the combination of the music and the beautiful images was a very peaceful experience, and I thank you. It's one of the best services we've had at WOOF in a long time.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. And thank you, Josh. He does beautiful. I just left it up to him. I said, you know, I have total confidence that you will bring something to this that will be just right, and you did.
Do you like drawing pictures more or actually taking them?
Do I like showing them or taking them?
No. Is that the
problem?
Photographs or painting?
Oh, painting. They are so different. I find that I will shoot with my camera when I'm inspired to do it. I'm not one that takes it out every day, which is makes it difficult to remember how to use your camera properly. But I get inspired, and then I'll go on a photo shoot or I'll take a workshop. And I love that. I mean, it allows me to see a lot, take some different things. But the painting is so different. It engages you in a way that I can't even describe. It's where I say it's very therapeutic. In a way, it cuts out the world and draws you in. And it's frustrating at times. I mean, at times I don't know what I'm doing, most of the time, actually. But it evolves. And so I think, for me, the painting has become very, very enjoyable.
I have some experience with photography, being that my children have their personal photographer at all times. Not that mine is any good, but I like it because the subjects are so cute.
It's good.
It's my art. My husband, though, and others, when we are out either hiking or doing something that is photo-worthy, have complained or pointed out that sometimes when I am taking pictures, I'm living through this lens instead of experiencing it. Is that something that you deal with?
Yes, and that is a really good point. It's why I generally will go on a photo shoot. That's what I'm going to do. Because I don't like that business of looking through the, and it excludes everybody else. For one thing, it's really a pain to have to travel with a photographer if you're not one yourself. I mean, it's stop this. So I try not to do that either. But I think that to choose the times, because, you know, you can have a jillion pictures, and most of them start looking very much the same. So I think, for me, to choose my time that I'm actually photographing and exclude the time mostly that I want to be with other people and engaged with them. Yeah. It's a choice that's sometimes hard because you see, oh my gosh, that's the best picture, you know, and you don't get it. But that's okay. There will be another time. I think there was a question back there.
Right here?
I guess I have two questions.
Uh-huh.
A few years ago, when we first arrived in the Portland metro area, I experienced a feeding frenzy at the Japanese garden. If you could relate an experience to when you experienced the same thing with sight that just compelled you to keep taking shot after shot after shot, that would be really interesting to learn about. And the other thing that I'm curious about is I tend to see the world through the lens of luck and the ability to recognize opportunity. It's very easy to place too much value on the few coincidences that we experience in life and overlook the vast majority of the clear misses that we experience. You mentioned serendipity twice in your presentation, so I'd like you to expand on that. So, feeding frenzy and serendipity.
So I'm not sure I understand the feeding frenzy part, so just explain that to me. Also,
it's so easy. At the Portland Japanese garden, I saw in that environment intentional design, structure at every conceivable level. If you flew over it, you would see structure. Then you would see structure in a vista or in a larger garden layout. And then when you look down to the paving, it had, you know, mini vistas. Down to the paving detail itself, it was constantly the collision of organic and man-made, hard line, soft edges, beautifully integrated.
Mm-hmm.
It was at every level, and I think I couldn't stop shooting for like 2.5 hours.
So it appealed to you. It sounds like it really appealed to you. I think photography is in any art, needs to appeal to the person doing it. It's kind of like that structure somehow was good for your brain. That's what you enjoyed seeing and capturing. And I understand that completely. I have taken hundreds of pictures in a small area because it's something that appealed to me. What I have found is when I find something like that, it often appeals to other people. And in two ways. Lots of other photographers are there, which is hard. But also, that's what's, I think, given me the opportunity to put my pictures in other places and have people like them. So people that like that, like them. And so I would say just keep doing it. You know,
I was just curious if there was a particular place and time where you had a similar experience.
Oh, there is, but I can't tell you what it is right now. But, I mean, one day I went out and I was shooting buildings, you know, the architecture, and there's just so many examples of really, really cool buildings. And so I tend to like to take things close up. So, you know, I focus on certain aspects of it. And I could spend a half a day just doing that. So it's not unusual for a photographer to get drawn in. And the other part of your question?
Expand on serendipity.
Oh. It's just happened to me so often where I just have the luck of the moment. I was at Julia's house because her husband was printing my large photographs. And we were looking at some examples of matting and framing. And he wanted to show me some of Julia's work and how they were put together. And then in comes Julia, introduces herself, and says, well, I'm going to be starting a oil painting class. It was in a week or 2 weeks at the very most. And I just said, sign me up. I had no clue I had any talent in that area at all. But to me, that was serendipity. It was just lucky. And I've had just where you meet a certain person and they help you out, or you get a chance to go on a trip that you didn't even know about, but, you know, somehow it came. So that's what I call serendipity. Other people may have a different definition of it. It's the luck of the moment for me.
So relative to the theme that we're going through with beauty, there's always a piece that falls into my mind about the imperfection that is beautiful as well. And I know with art and photography, sometimes you can be drawn to capture moments and reflect sorrow or reflect sadness or, imperfection and have it resonate with people. Sort of like when you mentioned taking the portraits at the homeless shelter, and I'm just curious, was there in those images beauty in the moment of solidarity for the families, or was there beauty in the truth of however their experience is at this time? What was the beauty that you were reflecting in those images?
To be truthful, it was somewhat hard because I saw people that have a hard life and the children who have undergone, some trauma in their lives. So from that standpoint, it was difficult. But what I really was able to bring to it was a way to bring them together in a way that they could feel good about what they were going to see. And there's so much love that can be captured in just a moment. And so for me, that's why I liked doing it. And it seemed to bring out what the best of these families. I mean, they had opportunities. There's one story I remember well that this one woman, young woman, just didn't care how she looked. She didn't get dressed properly. I mean, she was just sort of hanging out in sweats. And then she heard that I was going to be taking some pictures, and she arrived at the pictures dressed in a nice outfit, makeup, they'd never seen makeup on her, trying to look how she wanted to feel. And it was wonderful because it wasn't about perfection, but it was about bringing out something that was really there and she could acknowledge. So in other instances too, where often the pictures that appeal to people the most are not the ones that somebody's just standing there smiling. They show something that's going on in their lives. And I'd love to capture those moments if I can. But talking about imperfections, I'm always wondering why it is, and I've done it myself, go out in the country and take pictures of barns that are falling down. I don't know why, but that appeals to people somehow. I hope I answered that question.
I'll take another question if there's time. I think it was a couple of weeks ago we had a presentation about brains here and creativity there. And there are many things in your discussion that stood out with me. One, that we're born to create. And also, that photos, images help us remember.
Yes.
And you talk about therapeutic and healing. And I'm just wondering, is that something that, you know, there's discussions of memory care these days and all, and that would be something that would be helpful for people?
You know, I think that's a really good point because people do remember the past. I try to make a book of pictures on a trip, for instance. I make a book, you know, just through the computer. And it helps me to remember as well because the trouble with digital is you can get a million pictures, I mean, really, too many. But I think that's a really good point because they've made, I think, some headway with music with people with memory problems, and to have pictures that would remind them of things that they have done. Or even if they don't have them, show them pictures that are kind of universal. And, it's a good point, I think.
Two comments. One is that I read someplace that the photographers photograph what they love, and if that love isn't there, then the photograph doesn't really quite communicate as much. The other is that when we talk about serendipity, I remember there's a Zen saying that it's about readiness. That when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so for somebody else who's not ready, that serendipitous moment would not register with them. But if you're ready and open to it, it clicks and you're ready to go.
Yes, but it took so many decades for that to happen. But it did, and I'm grateful for it.
I do believe in luck, given whatever name, and I don't mean to be negative or anything. He's like, why do you have to do this? But I wonder how much of the serendipity in our lives is due to our status, our socioeconomic status, like the people that we know, the families that we came from. Like, they're might be a lot less of that luck or serendipity for those people in the homeless shelter, and I wonder how that, how you recognize that in your life, or what you think about that.
Probably, I don't know. I never thought about it that way. I was just thinking about it in my own life, you know. But really, I think it could be in anybody's life. It might be somebody handing you a sandwich, you know, that you don't have enough to eat, and how lucky, serendipitous that is. I mean, it's so many layers to that. Guess I don't want to overanalyze it. It just, for me, it's just those lucky moments that I feel so grateful for. Because it's like a map, you know, and you have this road or you have that road, and you happen to be on that road. So guess what? You got something out of that. But who knows what would have been on the other road. So I don't know. Well, I appreciate all those questions. They were very good.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Susan and Josh.